Of course, you know, Mary had a visitation from Gabriel, who told her that the son that she was about to conceive would be the Son of God. She didn't understand it, but she said, "Be it unto me according to your word." She surrendered to the message that the angel had for her, even though she knew in the back of her mind what that could and would ultimately bring. That now for years and years and years, she would be labeled a loose woman, that Jesus would be labeled an illegitimate person, and that's what they had to live with. All right, but Mary said, "I accept that." And then the next thing that they see are the shepherds that are coming in from the field, and they're telling them, this was our experience, that the angels of heaven just burst through heaven and started singing and proclaimed that this person, that this infant that we would find bound up in swaddling clothes, was the Son of God, was the Messiah. And so we're here to see it. And, you know, wow, that is, you know, Mary and Joseph, they're saying that is pretty well. You know what swaddling clothes are, don't you? Okay, and we got away from the habit of swaddling, and come to find out, doctors have discovered that when you go ahead and wrap a child up nice and snug in a blanket, they're used to being nice and snug in mama's womb, and then when you just go ahead and throw them in the crib and let them flail around, that makes them uncomfortable and afraid. And when you put them in a nice, tight, snug little blanket, then they feel like they're back in mama's womb. So this is something that the ladies of old knew, you know, for thousands of years. So here's this baby, all wrapped up nice and snug, and wow, this is really neat. And then we don't hear much until here in Luke, where they take him to be dedicated, because he was the firstborn son of Mary. And every son who is the one to break the womb, right, the first one born, that one has to be dedicated to the Lord. And so there was an offering, 2 pigeons, 2 turtle doves, you know, whatever you could afford. And so they go to the temple. And I want you to see how God, when he answers prayer, he does it in the most grand way that you can ever imagine. See, when we pray, God, we're sick. Terry has this blockage, and we need that blockage opened up. Or Elizabeth is sick, or our dear sister is moving, or whatever is going on, you know, we get very focused in on that one thing. And what God is doing is he's saying, I'm going to answer this prayer, but I'm going to answer this prayer in a way that blesses a whole bunch of people. Amen? And so, here, Joseph and Mary, they're just being obedient to the Lord. This is the firstborn son. We've got to go ahead and get a couple of pigeons, and we'll go and take them to the temple, and there one of the priests will go ahead and dedicate him. They'll sacrifice these 2 pigeons to the Lord, and we will have fulfilled the requirements of the law of Moses. But while they're in the process of doing this, there's a guy, and his name is Simon. And he had been promised by God that he wasn't going to die until he saw the Messiah. And I can bet you, with that promise in his heart, every time that a boy was brought forward for dedication, Simon was there. Is this the one? Is this the one? His life was controlled by this promise that God had given him by the Holy Spirit. And so here come Joseph and Mary and the infant Jesus, and Simon, okay, I've got to go check this out. I'm sure that Simon's morning was just like every other morning. Well, maybe today. I can't get too excited because I've been up every morning for the past 30 or 40 years looking for the Messiah to come, but maybe today, and so maybe more out of duty, maybe more out of habit, he got up and he went down to the temple, and this time, who did he see? saw the Messiah. He saw the one that God says, you are not going to pass from this earth until you get to lay eyes on the promise of Israel, the Messiah. And so he goes ahead and takes Jesus from the arms of his parents, and he says, now dismiss thy servant, O Lord, in peace, according to your word. In other words, he's saying, this is it. My promise from God has been fulfilled. I'm ready to go home to heaven. Amen? I'm ready to go home. For behold, mine eyes have already seen your mercies, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light for a revelation to the Gentiles. Amen. Any Gentiles here today? That's right. We're all Gentiles here today. Unless your mama was a Jew. If your mama was a Jew, then you're a Jew. Other than that, I think most of us are Gentiles here today. A light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to your people Israel. And it's too bad that they missed out on it. All right? Because the light was there. The glory was there. So anyhow, and it just says in verse 33, Joseph and his mother marveled. Okay. And then Simon blesses him, blesses Jesus, and then he tells Mary something. Now, if this wasn't the strangest message that she's ever received from going to church, I don't know what was. So she said, this one, or I should, Simon said, this one is appointed for the fall and for the rise of many in Israel and for a sign of dispute. In other words, this could be a big, he's going to be a stumbling stone, or he's going to raise people up to see the glory of God. But whatever it is, his life is going to be full of disputation. Amen? And a sword that will pierce through your own soul. And you've got to wonder how many times Mary's soul, heart was pierced through. You know, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when maybe she wasn't too sure that Jesus was on the right track. Remember, there was a time when Jesus was preaching, and Mary and other relatives were there saying, we just want to bring Jesus home. They were kind of questioning whether Jesus might have had, you know, a little mental breakdown or something. And they told Jesus, your mother, your brethren, they're waiting for you. And Jesus gave that little lecture about, well, who are my brothers? Who is my mother? Those who believe in me. Those, that's my mother and my brother. And so, yes, Mary, a sword will pierce through your own soul, and ultimately, she was one of the very few that were there at the crucifixion of Jesus. How terrifying. How horrendous that had to be to see this son who has never done anybody wrong. Oh, yeah, he kind of tweaked the noses of the religious crowd, but he was always there to help those in need. And here they are taking him and hanging him on a cross. And so that was one more thing for Mary to hold in her heart. And then Hannah the prophetess was there. And here's somebody that's, you know, over 100 years old. And she spent all of her time, I got to thinking about this, she has over 100 years old, she spends all of her time. I imagine that she was such a fixture in the temple that people came by and just gave her a little something to eat. Because she was there day and night. That's some dedication right there. And she became a widow for about 84 years. She never left the temple. With fasting and prayer, she worshiped day and night. And she also stood up at that hour. Now, she didn't say a whole lot, but when Simon was talking to Mary and Joseph, and Jesus was there, she recognized, Hannah recognized, didn't say that she placed hands on Jesus, didn't say that she was, you know, there praying for Jesus, but she said, look at this is the Messiah. And what did she do? And she spoke concerning him to every man who was looking forward to the salvation of Jerusalem. So when people were coming into the temple to do whatever they were going to go at, you know, do at the temple, maybe it was time for the reading, maybe it was time for the service, maybe it was just time to worship God or whatever. If you were there and you were looking to praise God, that you were putting your trust in the promises of God's Word, Hannah was there to tell you, hey, by the by, yeah, the Messiah was just here. All those promises of the Old Testament that we hold so dear, and we've been wondering, when, oh God, are you going to bring these things to pass? He just came through. Amen? The Messiah is real, and he's here. I saw him. And again, what could Mary and Joseph do about all of this? They, you know, wondered at what they were seeing. And then they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth, and the boy grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And so I am sure that when people got up that day to go to the temple, Simon, Hannah, whomever, it was just another day. Maybe a hopeful day, but it was another day. And who knew that today would be the day that God's promise to them would be fulfilled? That's why Hannah was there day and night. She didn't want to miss out on God's promise. That's why Simon was there every day that he would go in. Now, the priests used to serve and they called it in rounds, so that there'd be a group of priests who would serve for this long, and then they would cycle out and a new group of priests come, because there were thousands and thousands of priests that had to take their turn serving in the temple. But not Simon. Simon, he was coming in every day, whether it's his turn or not, because he knew God made him a promise, and he wasn't going to miss that promise. You know, beloved, I hope that every day is a day when you wake up saying, perhaps today is the day. Perhaps today is the day that what I've been praying for and claiming for my children, or that thing, that healing or deliverance for a grandchild, perhaps that is today. That this is going to happen today. And if it doesn't happen today, then I'm just one more day closer to it. You remember, this group will know who Zig Ziglar is. You know, remember the salesman? He taught salesmen how to sell? Zig Ziglar had this little thing that he would do. He would put 10 beans in his pocket. And he had determined that he would make a sale one out of every 10 presentations. He had it figured out. I will talk to 10 people, and out of those 10 people, I will make a presentation. And so what he would do, he'd start off the morning and put 10 beans in his pocket. And he would go, and he would talk to the first person. First person says, no, I don't want to buy anything. Take that bean out, put it in the other pocket. And you might say, well, that must have been discouraging. No, because he says, I'm one bean closer. I'm one bean closer to making my sale. And sometimes you'd make it all the way through the day to the 10th bean, but statistically, he made that sale. Statistically, he knew that if he made that presentation 10 times, he would make one sale. And he sold Fuller brushes. You name it, this man sold it. But that's what he said. I'm just one presentation closer to achieving my goal. Well, you see, the day that you stand up and you pray, God, I need Sister Terry to be healed. And then you find out that, well, she wasn't healed today. Don't get discouraged, because that just means she's one day closer to getting her healing. You know, that financial problem that you're dealing with. And you're saying, God, I need a financial miracle. And it didn't happen today. Don't get down in the mouth about it. You're just one day closer to God meeting that miracle, meeting that need. Whatever your needs are, but what we've read here today is our scriptures about God being faithful to answering prayers, to fulfilling prophecies, to fulfilling promises. Amen? And so, if you pray and it doesn't happen just the way you expected it to happen, that's okay. Take that one little faith bead out of the right pocket, put it in the left pocket, because that just means I'm one more bead closer to getting my prayer answered. Amen? Don't give up. Simon never gave up. Hannah, 100-some-odd years old, Lord have mercy. You know, but still, and they didn't have a bus that you could take into the, temple. You go out to like Second Baptist, and you park out in the South 40 parking lot, they've got charter buses that come by and get you and take you up to the church because it's a long way to walk. Well, Hannah didn't have that. She would have to, if she went home, she would just have to get up every morning and go into the temple. Maybe she spent the whole night there. The Bible says, man, she's there day and night. I don't know, but every day, for decades, every day she got up, maybe today. For Simon, maybe today. And one day, that day came. Amen? Amen? And so, don't give up. You're claiming something. You're claiming for some grandson who's just being a reprobate somewhere and praying that God will take his life and change him around and you get a telephone call and the telephone call says, oh yeah, he just got arrested and now he's sitting down and don't get upset at that. I said, well, God, I was praying that you would take him and turn him around. Well, God's in the process of doing it, and he's just one day closer now. Amen? Who knows what's going to happen to that young man when he's in jail? He might have one of those, come to Jesus moments there. All right? And so we don't know, but folks, all I can say is every day that you go through, where your prayer isn't answered, you're just one day closer to that prayer being answered. Amen? One day closer to that prayer being answered. And you have to remember that quitters never win and winners never quit. Amen? That prayer that you've been holding on to God for, the answer to that prayer could be right around the corner. Amen? That's what faith is. Calling those things that aren't as though they were. Well, granddaughter, is a reprobate, okay? But I'm claiming that she is a glorious woman for Jesus. And that's faith, calling something that isn't as though it were. And that person and everybody would say, oh, Grandma, you need to wake up. This person's a reprobate. This person doesn't love Jesus. This person, yeah, but he will, she will. She will, because I'm trusting God to do it. And God is in the heart-changing business. God is in the life-changing business. He took me, and I certainly didn't deserve anything special from him. Amen? And he changed me, and he can do the same to anybody's child. Of course, I'd like to think that, I made that choice to pull off of Pearson Road and talk to Jesus, and this was just a Jesus and Dale thing, nobody else was involved. And it was interesting years later to have my old grand aunts come up to me. My grandmother's sisters come up to me. We want you to know that we had just about gave up all hope on you. Yeah. Yeah, Grandma, yeah, she was always praying for me. Amen. And so I thought I was in this on my own. Come to find out, no, God had a whole bunch of prayer warriors that were interceding for me and intervening into my whole situation. Amen. And it wasn't I who had the idea to turn down the street and accept Jesus. That was the result of dozens, hundreds, thousands of prayers going up to God. Oh, God, that boy is definitely on the wrong track. If you don't save him, there's no hope. And here I are. Okay? Do not give hope. My aunts and uncles and great aunts and great uncles and all of those, they never gave up on me. And we're here today because of their faithfulness in prayer. Amen? Amen. We have so many neat, illustrations from the Word of God about hanging in there. When it doesn't look like it can get any worse, it's not gonna get any better, whatever. Whatever the despair is, God is there and He's greater than all of our circumstances. Amen? Father God, thank you so much for this beautiful